Dear God, we come and we thank you and praise you that you are holy. I pray as we utter those words, maybe we'd be reminded that when we speak of your holiness, we are thinking of someone and only you who is utterly unique and distinct from all creation. Lord, you are beyond what we can imagine. You're noble, but yet you transcend us, God. And so we come and we worship you because you are worthy of worship. There's no one like you. So, Lord, help us now as we open up your word, that even through your word we might worship you, that we might seek to lean in and to listen and to learn from your word and even from your commands, Lord, that you give us. Help us not just to hear them with our heart, our minds, but also with our hearts and our actions as well, Lord. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's awesome to be here with you this morning. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans 12. And those of you that need to go to children's church, you can slowly make your way out towards the back there. I see someone waiting for you. So last week, I actually was not in here at all, but some of you still saw me. You probably thought, what is he doing? Is he skipping out on us? I actually went to Wonder World with our youngest, and I hung out there, and I actually got to teach them from Daniel 6, so I got to sit on the floor with them and to do that. That's actually a good thing for me to do. Takes me back to my elementary education days, but it's also good because I want those children to know that I'm their pastor as well, and they matter. They matter enough that I'll go there and I'll sit down on the floor with them. And even before that, I must have just had it going on because the week before that, I went to youth camp. Yay. Yes. You know, at youth camp, they don't go to bed on time. And some of them don't know how to pick up stuff, all right? Like wet stuff. They leave it on the floor, all right? And they stink, all right? So hopefully, fortunately, Ty was there, and he does not do such things. Ty, you just sleep on the couch, that's right. But it was a great time. Actually, it's actually something I think I would do again. I treasured the time to actually be there with those students. It's not really rocket science of what you do to do that. It's just making yourself available and hanging out. So I drank a lot of Starbucks. All right, I laid off the monster drinks. I don't know how they do that. I had one kid drink a monster drink at like 9 at night. I was like, what are you thinking? Because I got to go to bed at some point, all right? Don't do that to me. But it was awesome. And we actually saw 3 students from our group that put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're excited about that. So this morning, though, what I want to talk to you about is hospitality. Hospitality is a tool used by God to change and transform lives. It's much more than somebody greeting you at the door. Hospitality is powerful. Elizabeth and I, way back in the days, we were just thinking yesterday, we heard somebody that had a 26th birthday at a restaurant, and I said, do you remember those days? He says, yeah, and I was about to marry you. So almost 21 years ago, we got married, and we went to look for churches in the Dallas area. We were looking for our new home church for us. And that can be a very daunting task to do that. And I remember one church in particular that we went to visit, and probably a little bit larger than this, but close to this. And what was one of the amazing things about that was the hospitality that we experienced from the people there. One of the things that we started to notice as we went, as we visited, there was a particular man who was a deacon who also loved to greet. He was there every Sunday greeting. He was always looking for us. Like he would look out for us, and as we would come and make our way, and he saw this young couple, he probably recognized we needed a lot of help, but he looked for us, and he would tell us, he said, look, there's a seat for you over there, and he would tell us right where the seat was. And then there was an elder within the church that began to actually, when we came, because it was because of the facility, it was kind of crowded, that as we started to come more regularly, that elder actually came after us, and he would grab us, and he says, "I have seats right here for you to sit down." Imagine how that spoke to some young married couples. It spoke volumes to us. And that elder also took the initiative to say, "You know what? I would like you to come to our small group." And he invited us in our small group. And he brought us into our small group. And his hospitality made a powerful impact on a young married couple and got them connected into the church where they could be ministered to. I've seen hospitality take place in other ways too. The church I served before coming here, we had a student. We were in Waco, and so we had lots of Baylor students, and particularly Baylor professors, more Baylor professors that would come. And we had one particular Baylor professor, Dr. Lee is his name. He's in the engineering department. And Dr. Lee saw his students as a mission ground for him, particularly the students who came from foreign countries. And so what Dr. Lee would do is he would just reach out to them, love on them, and then he would eventually invite them to come to church where he worshiped with me and others. And there was one particular young man that he invited, and his name was Chow Wu. Chow Wu was from China. Chow Wu was a card-carrying communist, and he was also an atheist. But here comes Dr. Lee. And Dr. Lee didn't lead with the gospel, but what he led with was hospitality. And in that church, there were two particular older ladies who, as they were, and I think both of them were single older ladies, and what they saw as their mission was these students that were coming to visit, and particularly the students that Dr. Lee would invite, that it was their mission that what they would do is that they would invite them after every Sunday to come over to their house and have lunch. So you have these older ladies getting together, and then you have all these young students. And Chow Wu was one of those students. Chow Wu was with us for a few years. And in that time, the Lord began to work because he kept coming to church. He kept going to these luncheons after church. And after times, he began to examine his beliefs of atheism. He came to a place where he realized that there was a God, but he still hadn't understood that there's a personal God. Because he kept talking about this Jesus Christ, and as he delved in, he finally came to put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But later, as he would give his testimony before the church, do you know what God used to grab hold of Chow Wu's heart? Those two older ladies who kept inviting him to come over to his house and eat a meal. Hospitality is a tool of God to transform and change lives for eternity. In fact, I can, at some point, we'll have a testimony here, but one of our elders excels at hospitality, and God has used hospitality to grab hold of a young man's heart who has been caught up in addiction, and that hospitality of that elder has brought him into his home. And God has continued to work on this young man because this elder knows that hospitality is used by God to change and transform lives. This morning, I want to challenge you because hospitality is something that we can all do. It's not as hard as you think. And if you do it, God can use it to change a life. Anyone here want to help change a life? Man, every one of your hands ought to be up. Come on, anyone here would not want to change? Does anyone here want to change a life? Then raise your hand, all right? That's what we want to talk about. So let's go to Romans chapter 12. You ready? This year we've been talking about, we have had a particular vision for our church is to believe and belong in genuine gospel community by continuing, deepening, or taking a next step in. And we're going to talk a lot about, more about this in the fall. But that's been our vision, our emphasis for what we want to do this year. And so that we founded that way back in January. We landed the meaning of what is genuine gospel community by looking into Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. So I want you to go there. We're going to look at what, again, we're going to be reminded, what is genuine gospel community? But what you'll find is that the last part of that verse will be elaborating what we're going to talk about today, hospitality. So look at the context first. Let me set it up for you. As you go to Romans chapter 12, you've got to understand the first verse that comes up in Romans chapter 12 is this. Verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers or sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That is, in view of God's mercies in your life, what He wants from you is your life. And the way that you worship Him is that you give Him your life to be used for His purposes. And if you're wondering, what is the mercies of God? Let me give you just an outline of the book of Romans real quick. The mercies of God is this. The mercy of God is to withhold His wrath. If you look at Romans chapters 1 through 3, you see that all of us deserve the wrath of God. Because there's not a one of us in here, there's no human being who is not without sin. And He makes that very clear. But God is a God of love. Though we deserved His wrath, He's a God of love. So He made a way, as Romans 3, 5, and 6 lay out for us, or excuse me, 3, 4, and 5 lay out. That is, Jesus Christ came, He died for our sins, He was buried and rose again. And if we put our faith in Him, we're declared righteous. Not that we are righteous, but we're declared righteous on the basis of Christ. And through faith in Him, we're received by Christ because of that righteousness. We're saved from our sins. But then God's not done with this. Romans 6, 7, and 8, we looked at earlier this year about how God is, we have us in this process of sanctifying. It is setting us more and more to the likeness of Christ. And then Romans 9, 10, and 11 talks about God's sovereignty, that He's not done with His people Israel, that He is sovereignly going to work all these things out. And then He says, in view of that, here's what I want you to do. Give your life as a service of worship. He says in verses 4 and 5 that you and I are part of a new body of believers. It says that we're members of one another is what it says there in verse 5. That you and I, as we look around at each other here, we're family. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're part of a new family. You're members of one another. We have responsibility to each other. So verses, what it says there in verses 6, 7, and 8 is that we also have gifts. And we're responsible to use these gifts with each other. And then we come to verses 9 through 13, which describes for us what this community is to look like as we operate with our gifts with each other. Verse 9 says this. It says, let love be genuine. Just stop right there. Let love be genuine. It's to be without hypocrisy. The Greek word there spoke of not having a mask. What that means then, as Christians, we're to love each other genuinely, that we're not supposed to be a people that go around and kind of fake this, but that there ought to be love that is genuine, that is sincere, that we ought not to be a people who are always wearing masks, pretending, but it ought to be something that's real within us. Let love genuine kind of serves as the overarching description for what is about to follow. Matter of fact, there'll be a number of exhortations that appear here, but let me read the text to you. It says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with a brotherly affection. There's the idea that church is family. We're to love each other as if we're family. Particularly, we're to love each other as if we're in a healthy family. I realize there's unhealthy families where you don't experience this. But our call is, as a healthy family, what we're to be doing is we're to be loving each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Then the text goes on to say, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Verse 12, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Then it says, contribute to the needs of the saints. That is, we're to be helping each other out, especially when fellow saints are in need. We're to share in those needs with them. And then it comes to the last phrase, is where I want to focus at today, and seek to show hospitality. Seek to show hospitality. That's where we want to go. Now, when you hear the word seek to show hospitality, when you hear that, some of you might be thinking of Better Homes and Gardens. Some of you might be thinking of Martha Stewart Living or Southern Living. If that's what comes to your mind, get it out of your mind immediately. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about just merely entertaining guests. Biblical hospitality is much more than that. Matter of fact, this word for hospitality, it's very informative. It's made up of two Greek words, one philos meaning friend or loving, and then one xenos, which means strangers. It's the idea of loving strangers. And over time, that word took on this concept of hospitality. That we're to love strangers. We're to show hospitality to people. Chuck Swindoll writes this. He says, love of strangers carries the idea of extending love to those who are different, sojourners from another culture, another race, or a different belief. We're to show hospitality to them. We're to love strangers. I quote, we are to open our lives and our church to those who are new or searching for God, lonely, isolated, or in need. If we're to do that for strangers, then imagine what kind of hospitality we're supposed to show to those who are part of the family of God, right? This is an important command to carrying out this call to a genuine gospel community. That is, those who know the gospel ought to be marked by love for strangers and especially a love for the people that they know around them. I want you to stop for a moment. I got a few questions for you. Because what I want you to do is I just don't want you to hear me. I actually want you to start thinking and processing, what am I going to do with what the Word of God commands me to do? Okay? So you ready? So don't get comfortable, like start leaning in. Like if you don't take notes, maybe this is the day you take notes, okay? All right? Or at least take note mentally in your mind. But think of this question. Can you think of someone in our church or in your neighborhood who is looking for a place to belong? And I'm going to tell you right now, there are people who come to church. That's why one of our strategic steps is to belong in community in Christ. Because we know it's one thing just to attend a church and come in and out, but it's another thing actually to have a sense of that I belong here. And that only happens as we help people to feel and have a sense of belonging. Another question, maybe you know someone who doesn't fit in or who needs a helping hand or needs some love. I guarantee you right now there are people that are walking in this door that need to feel loved. Right now, there are people sitting around you that need to feel loved. Think about this. What can you or a group of you do to help someone who is a stranger? Who is it that needs to share a meal, you need to share a meal with? Who do you need to, who needs to feel cared for by you, your family? Yeah, that's right, families. This ought to be something that you teach your children how to do. And we'll get to all the excuses why we don't do that later. But who is you, a family or as a small group, do you need to love the stranger? Now, this takes initiative. Now, look back at the verse 13 because I want to show you where it says to that. It says, to seek to show, that's what precedes the word hospitality. So it's the idea of to pursue them. Matter of fact, the word here is a present active. To seek to show is a present active verb. And it's the idea of ongoing activity when you're seeking to show someone. It's not just a one-time thing. And the word itself, seek to show, literally it carries the idea better of to strive for or to pursue or to chase after. That's how it was used in the Greek. It was used to chase after something or chase after something you were hunting. or it was to go after them. It takes initiative. Now, I'll tell you right now, you can ask my wife, when it comes to hospitality, that's not my strongest gift. When I was serving at the church I served before here, the pastor there, literally I had someone came and told me, you know, their pastor, he actually chased me down in the parking lot when I first visited here. I'm more of the kind that I would see, if I saw you in the parking lot, I would just go like this. But this is a command. And so it doesn't really matter what my personality or my natural inclination is to do. It says I'm supposed to take the initiative. And here's how the initiative of hospitality has happened in this church. And trust me, as I read some of these stories about things that have happened in our church, I recognize there's no doubt there's other stories about people who perhaps didn't show hospitality, but it's happening here. Matter of fact, we asked some questions through Facebook this week, and one person said, the very first time I attended NBC, I met one lady when I first sat down a few rows behind her. During the worship, she passed me a note inviting me to lunch afterwards, which I accepted. She introduced me to no less than 15 people that first day. I am now in her small group and have developed great friendships with many ladies over the last 2 years. NBC was the most welcoming church I'd ever attended, and I immediately felt like home. Another one said this, one of your staff made me feel right at home from the second I called her before she even met or I had attended a service. My son has severe allergies, and I called about the kids area. She went above and beyond, and I told her I wasn't even sure I could make it that Sunday following our conversation. She said she has never changed, still goes above and beyond, and I appreciate it. Actually, everyone I've met, still being fairly new, has been very hospitable. The church staff seems to really embody that trait. Another person who has been a member of our church for a while says there has been numerous occasions, but two that I can definitely remember when it comes to thoughts of hospitality. When we visited for the very first time 60 years ago this month, we were welcomed by someone in our church. They helped us find a Sunday school class, got us set up in Wonderworld for our now big kid. We never felt more at home than that specific Sunday. We knew then that's where God needed us to be. And after our second child, we were set up for meals for like 2 months. I didn't have to worry about healing and cooking dinner because so-and-so went above and beyond. And then another member of our church can remember the first Sunday that there was a person who invited her and her husband to one of the Sunday school classes. And she says, we have been there for 17 years now. The class members visited me in the hospital and brought food for us each time. I had surgery. We are like family. That's what genuine gospel community is to be marked by. That kind of hospitality. And that kind of hospitality changes lives. I want you to realize something. Each Sunday, we receive guests here at the doors of Midlothian Bible Church. Each Sunday, guests come here. And I've heard it put that guests are a gift from God. And some of you are thinking, well, now I can think of some guests who aren't gifts, all right? But Matt, I've had several people show up at my house that are not gifts, okay? But they are. You just got to put it in the right perspective. First of all, every week, God brings believers who are in need of two things. They're needed two things, folks. Okay? They need to be ministered to. And what I mean, there's believers who come each week who need to grow in their walk with Christ, who need to be encouraged because maybe they're struggling in their faith. They need love because maybe a loved one has died. They're struggling with doubts. Maybe they're in conflict. Maybe they have ongoing struggling with sin. Believers experience that. And the hospitality that you and I show them is the difference between whether they'll be ministered to or not. There's a second group, because some of you are saying, well, I came here, I didn't have all that I got going on. Good. Those other groups are the people that as believers have a need to minister to others. And the reality is those new believers who come and perhaps become a part of this church, they just might be the people that you need to minister to them or to you. They might just be the people that they have those gifts, they have those talents and those abilities that we have gaps in our church body right now, and they might just be the ones to fill that. To guest star a gift from God. Second, unbelievers are coming as well. They're making their way to our church. Do you realize each week we have an opportunity to plant seeds of the gospel in individuals' lives? There's no doubt there's people sitting right here right now that don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ rightly. They don't. But what they need to see is when they come in here, they need to see a body of people who are serious about Jesus Christ, who are serious about gospel-centered community, and that they're so serious that they're willing to step out of their uncomfortableness, because I know how hard it can be to carry out hospitality for many of you, but they're willing to do that, and what they see is they see the love of God in action by you showing hospitality to strangers, by you showing hospitality to each other. And that might just be the key step in planting the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life. So how do we do this? Here's first that step we need to do. How do we obey this call to hospitality? First thing it is, make it a priority. Make it a priority. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. And let me show you from there. Hebrews 13. Hebrews is written to a group of Jewish believers who he's trying to reaffirm their belief of the superiority of Christ, and he's trying to help them continue to mature in their faith and their walk with Christ. And guess what is a part of this ongoing maturity? Well, look what verse 1 of Hebrews 13 says. It says, "Let the love of brethren continue." Sounds like Romans, doesn't it? "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." Don't neglect it. So you want to really be growing in Christ. Part of this is that we're not neglecting to show hospitality. Now, we got to stop and ask a question. We got to ask this question. Anytime you're studying the Bible, you always bombard the text with questions. And so my question when I come to this text is this one. It's probably one that's coming to your mind. Why do we neglect hospitality? Why don't we do it? Well, I want to offer up four things that I came up with as I was studying this text. The first one is we just might be oblivious to this call to hospitality. All right? I just took that away from you, okay? You all know we're called to practice hospitality. The second thing is, there is what is the biggest Christian cop-out of all right? And it's this excuse. When we have a command to do something, here's the biggest Christian cop-out. I'm not gifted to do it. Come on. Right now, some of you probably have used that one before, all right? Well, this isn't about our gifting. This is about just simple obedience. Now, there might be some of you that I don't want on the greeter team, okay? Straight up, because I look at you each week when I'm up here preaching, I'm like, oh my, they should not be on the greeter team. I'm not going to look at anyone right now, so you might think that. There was a dear friend. She's a prayer warrior. She prays for me. She's a dear friend of my mom. And my mom just stopped one time at church, and she asked her, she says, "Why don't you ever smile?" And my mom's friend turned to her and looked at her and she says, "I don't." That's a good sign. She doesn't need to be a greeter, right? We don't want to scare our guests. But the reality is, even if you don't have it on the outside, you're all called to be a greeter. Even if you're not on the greeter team, you're on the greeter team because you're here, right? It's part of the Bible. Matter of fact, our most important greeters are not the people who stand at the doors. It's you that sit here. Because when a guest comes in, what do they expect? The greeter's going to greet them, right? All right? Or they're going to tell them, you shouldn't be on the greeter team. You're not greeting me. All right? But what's powerful is when the people who supposedly don't really have to, which, by the way, you do, all right, that they greet them. Remember, you know, one of the most powerful time, according to statistics and studies, for when you do greet people, it's not at the beginning. It's not even during the assigned time that we do it. It's actually the 10 minutes after the service. Because then they know you're really serious about it, because you're not going to Chicken Express right away. A third thing. Here's why we don't do more hospitality. Fear and embarrassment. Come on right now. You know that. Fear and embarrassment. We get embarrassed and we get afraid. Like, man, I just can't remember people's names. All right? I mean, I think I greeted that person, you know, 3 months ago, but I don't know their name right now. Let's just do something today. All right? I can't even remember all my kids' names, and I only have three. Okay? I do understand right now why my mom used to go through and list off all the names in the family plus my dad, all right? And so now I just list off all the names plus our animals, okay? We just do that, and then you cover, and then they'll eventually go, what? All right? Let's just put it all together. Let's release each other from this burden, all right? Because I don't remember all y'all's names, all right? So when you see someone come, and especially when you see me and my eyes are glassed over and my head's spinning like, what's their name, what's their name, what's their name? Just let them off the hook and offer your name. All right? Or humble yourself and say, remind me your name. Okay? Remind me your name. Okay? Or establish a trick, which I do. Okay? Here's another trick that I do when I go home to my church I grew up in and I'm supposed to remember people and I don't because I'm 46 years old now and I don't remember you from 13. Okay? I use this trick. All right? I pat my wife on the back and guess what? That's the clue is you introduce yourself first. Pretty smart, isn't it? We're also afraid and we get embarrassed about our house. Oh, my house is too small. I can't have all these people over. All right. I can't have that family over. They have lots of kids and they keep having kids. Why am I going to have them in my house? Hey, just invite a few people over then. Or there's also this one. My house is so messy. Matter of fact, some of you spouses or some of you wives have probably threatened your husbands. Hey, don't you dare invite anyone over. And husband, your response would be, say, hey, honey, it's okay if they sit on the clothes. We all do anyway, all right? Let's just all admit it, all right? When guests aren't over, your house has clothes and underwear, bras, and everything on the couch, right? Is my house the only one? Okay. Let's just get honest, all right? So someone comes in, they catch you up, you know, like, hey, that's not my piece of clothing. It's my wife's. Hey, you're welcome. Sit on the clothes. Hey, just get real with people, all right? That's genuine gospel community. My dad, some of you might go, what if they stay too long? Man, those people come and they talk. They talk. They didn't even tell us they were coming over. They just knocked on the door. The whole Keener family came in. That happened yesterday, by the way. Well, here's some tips from my dad, all right? They're not inspired by the Bible, but my dad, when you stayed too long, he would just get the vacuum out and start vacuuming. Straight up. And he didn't tell you to go. He's just like, I got to get this done. So, boom, boom, stay. Here, you want to do it yourself? All right? My dad also did this one time. It's a funny story that goes around our house. One time they go, where's Jerry at? I don't know. I don't see him. Where'd he go? And then we realized he had already gone up to bed. But that's just real family life, right? So if you want to hang out at the rental set, just come, you know. But we might go to bed, all right? There's a last thing that reason we neglect, and it's just this. It's pure selfishness. This is pure selfishness. And I'd be the first to raise my hand. Pure selfishness. It's inconvenient to me. I don't want to do it. I want to watch my golf on Sunday afternoon and take a nap. That's a good thing to do. But if someone comes, am I willing to give up my nap and to get up and show hospitality to people, because I don't know how God's going to use that to minister to them? Make it a priority, folks. Make it a priority. Second, do this, or know this. The reason why, too, Hebrews gives us this little nugget. Look what it says there at the end. It says this. It says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now, immediately, when they read this, what they would have been thinking is about the history through the Old Testament on numerous occasions, like Abraham and Sarah and Lot and Gideon and even the parents of Simeon. They were visited by angels, and they showed those angels hospitality, not knowing that they were angels. And so the point, though, that the writer of Hebrews is making here is not that we show hospitality in the hopes that Michael Landon will show up, all right? It's not the hope that Clarence from It's a Wonderful Life will fly in. That's not the idea here. The idea that the writer is making is this. He says, when you do not neglect hospitality, there's potential blessing in it. Or if you do neglect hospitality, there's potential blessing that you'll miss. Don't miss that blessing. There's blessing in showing people hospitality. There's blessing in showing the love to strangers and pursuing it when God uses that to be a part of changing and transforming someone's life. Second, so we make it a priority. Second, we do this so by putting off grumbling and putting on gladness. It says here, 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. But then look at verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. And again, I had to stop and I said, why, God, why did you put that there? Why did you say without complaint? And to me, it's like, because Matt, you're a complainer. Because see, and I think the point here is the idea that it's this idea. Because sometimes we know Christian duties that we're supposed to do, and so sometimes we just do it because, like, oh, I got to do this, all right? I got to show hospitality to these people. And we do. Okay, again, am I the only one that does that? And what we do is we end up doing it out of this sense of duty, and we're like, oh, man, I hate doing that part of stuff. And I think what God is trying to do through the scriptures is he's saying, look, don't let this be something you're merely going through the duty and then you're going around and you're complaining about it. Let this be something that spurs from your heart instead. That's something that's welling up inside of you. Not just some mere duty. But let the showing of hospitality become a part of the passion of your heart. You say, well, why? Why should I do this? I want you to look with me. Here's our motive for why we do this. Look with me here to Leviticus chapter 19 up here on the screen. I want you to listen. This is way back in the Old Testament and God speaking to his people. He says this, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, that is, he's looking forward to when they'll be in the promised land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. And then get this part. You were strangers in the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. In essence, he's preparing them from the season when they were strangers, that they weren't at home there in Egypt. And he's saying, look, when you get in there, remember what it felt like to be a stranger, to not feel at home, not have a sense of belonging. In essence, what he's telling his children there is, says, hey, I want you to know that as your God, I value strangers. I care for strangers. I love strangers. I loved you when you were a stranger amongst the Egyptians, and I want you to reflect my glory by showing love and care and concern for strangers when they're in your land. Now, that doesn't stop in the Old Testament. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, he has just given the gospel, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then he tells us we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And then he comes to this story here in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm just going to give you a few verses. One of the verses is this. It says, you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. He's talking to Gentiles here, non-Jews, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He's saying, that's the place you were. You were once a stranger from my hope. my promises, my covenants. Then he says this in the next verse, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You've been brought near. And then as we go down further, verse 19 says this. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Here's what God is making the point. He's making this point that God pursued us when we were strangers from His saving grace. You want to know why hospitality is so important? You know why it's so important that you're showing hospitality to people in your neighborhood and your place of work, that you're looking out for strangers, that you practice hospitality here? Is because when you do that, you point to the grace, saving grace of God, that when you were far from Him because of your sins, that He reached out to you. He showed hospitality to you. He poured out His love upon you through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He brought you near and you made Him a part of your family. That's the message that you and I send when we practice hospitality with people. What we do is when we show the gospel, we put the gospel on display, when we show hospitality, when we take the initiative to give hospitality, we demonstrate the redemptive glory of God. It goes on display. Do you see the power of hospitality? If there's anything, I want you to ingrain this in your mind. The next time when you're tempted to say, you know what, let's just not invite anybody in. Let's not reach out. I mean, I know I see that person sitting over there by themselves, and I could easily get out of this row and go over and introduce myself. I could actually maybe invite them to come sit by me. That's uncomfortable. I want you to go to the cross of Jesus Christ and ask me if that was uncomfortable for Him. That's how much He loved you. And when you and I take serious the command to pursue the love of strangers, we're putting the gospel of Jesus Christ on display. That's why we do it. His commands, folks, listen, His commands always have purpose and meaning. Always. Now, real quickly, how do I do this? Or I'm like, Matt, it's just not my personality. It's hard for me. All right, that's why He gave you His Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 tells us this, but I say walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That we have to depend absolutely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. We rest in Him. You say, God, you help me, you empower me to get past my shyness or get past whatever is keeping me back, my selfishness, whatever it is. Empower me to show hospitality. And some of you, it comes real easy. God bless you, all right? For others, it doesn't. And you have patience with those who struggle with it. Then he goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. That is, He can enable you to have the fruit that's necessary for hospitality. Now, let's get real practical. I want to give you some real practical ideas. Here's what I need you guys to do for us, all right? As we go forward, particularly in the fall, we need you to help us to continue to develop an even deeper culture of hospitality and genuine gospel community. You have a purpose here. You can help us do that. Now, again, we need more people on our greeter team, but the reality is we need more people that understand that their greeters sitting right where they're at or standing wherever they're at. So let me give you four things. I don't have it up on the screen, but let me give you four action steps, all right? So this is where you need to write it down or your spouse needs to write it down for you, or better yet, I will send out the notes this week, okay? I will send out, so you maybe don't have to write anything. I'll just send it to you. There's four things that you need to be thinking when you come in here, all right? Other than just talking to your best buddy every Sunday, and I know we need to talk to our friends, and that's important to do, but we also always need to have kind of this eye out for the stranger. There's four things. The first one is this: reach out. Just reach out. Reach out to them. Go to them. Okay? You're like, well, I don't know what to say. Pray real hard, all right? Or just say this: what's your name? And introduce yourself. Second thing is, you want to seek to connect them, like show care, listen to them, encourage them, find ways to try to connect with them. A third thing is you need to invite. So invite them to sit down. Invite them to go find coffee. Invite them to a small group or one of the classes that we have in the morning. Invite them. We've got some folks that they're inviting somebody out to lunch every Sunday. Do that. And then introduce. That person may not be the person, they may not connect best with you, but you can introduce them to someone else. So like when I'm talking to people, sometimes I find out kind of where they're at and I figure out, hey, who's the person that they connect with well? And I will try to go seek out and introduce them to people, okay? So if you see me coming going like this, no, I'm coming after you to introduce you to someone, all right? Yes. So reach out, connect, invite, introduce. Remember, we want to help you do this. So here's what we're going to do. If you're an elder or if you were an usher today, I'm going to need you to go back by the different doors so you can like get up right now and do that if you don't mind. If you're an elder or a deacon or an usher today, I'm going to need you to go to the door. So here's what we've done. So Heather Hogue, our new connections and communication specialist here, here's what she did. She called Chick-fil-A, okay? And she told them we were talking about hospitality, all right? And so to take any excuse away, Chick-fil-A has donated 250 cards, which you can get a free sandwich or free 8-count nuggets, okay? How good is that? Is there anyone in here who doesn't like Chick-fil-A? If so, don't raise your hand, okay? Chick-fil-A. I could eat there 7 times a day. Except they're not open on Sunday, right? So here's what we want you to do. We want you, before you leave, we're going to give at least each family, one Chick-fil-A card, and you are not, and the Lord will know if you do, you are not to use it on yourself, okay? You are to take this, and you are to invite someone either here in the church that you just haven't got to know well, or maybe in your neighborhood or somewhere, you're to be intentional and use that to take them out to eat and to talk with them, all right? And you can't do it right after church because it's closed, right? All right, so it's got to be during the week. All right, we game for that? Oh, man, that is weak. You guys got to get excited. I mean, by taking a Chick-fil-A card, you have an opportunity to put the glory of the gospel on display. How awesome is that? That's what I'm saying. Next, we're also called to show hospitality to strangers. I mean, real strangers, okay? And so what we've done is in these bags, Heather put together these bags, and in these bags we have a bottle of water, we have a granola bar, and we have something else. And here's what I want you to do. I want you this week, I want you to pray for an opportunity that God will put someone across your path, whether it be a homeless person, whether it just be someone who just looks like they need water, all right? Someone who looks like they're hungry, whatever it is, you pray for some person, okay, to where you can just go and say, hey, I just want to give this to you, all right? And the Holy Spirit will lead you in how you do that, okay? But just go and show hospitality and just with kindness. Just give it to them, okay? So you guys excited to do that? All right? Now, I know some of you are right, like, man, I'm not doing that. There ain't no way, all right? Right now, some of you are. So, all right? I'm not even going to have you admit or come to the altar, all right? I'm not going to do that to you. But right now, I really want to challenge you. If that's you, I really want to challenge you. Just go to the Lord and take it to the Lord. And what I want you to pray for, if that's you, I want you to pray, Lord, give me a boldness that comes from you to do that. All right? And I want to see the Holy Spirit work in your life. Give me a boldness to do that. And guys, you can even give it to them. You don't have to say anything. You can give it and run. I don't know. Just give it to them. Because we have information about Christ in there as well. All right? Hospitality can change and transform lives. And you can be a part of changing and transforming someone's life by simply obeying this command to pursue the love of strangers. Midlothian Bible, let us be a church. Let us be a church that loves strangers because we were loved when we are strangers from God. Now God, we come and we praise you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the commands that you give us. And Lord, I want to pray right now for my brothers and sisters in Christ as we have challenged them with a Chick-fil-A card and as we've challenged them with a bottle of water and other things. Lord, I pray to this week here, Lord, that you empower each of them with a boldness that comes from you to reach out to someone and show the love to them. I pray, Lord, that you will open up doors. I pray that this week, that with these opportunities to show hospitality, that our members here can't miss it, Lord. They can't miss it. They're so obvious. Like, I need to invite this person to go eat with me. I need to give this bottle of water. And Lord, I pray what you will do as well, that you will use this hospitality to sow seeds of the gospel. Whether we see it here now would be awesome, but Lord, maybe it's just someday when we get to heaven and someone comes up to us and they say, hey, you remember that bottle of water you gave to me? God used that to draw me to himself when I was a stranger from him. Lord, help us to pray for each other this whole week that we'll show hospitality and that you will use it to change and transform lives. Lord, I pray as well for the person here today that doesn't know you, that's far from you, that doesn't truly know the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is simply this, that God loves us. We deserve his wrath because of our sin, but because of his love, he came, he died on the cross for our sins, and if we put our faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus alone, we turn away, we repent of trusting in anyone or anything else but Jesus Christ and Jesus alone, that you will save us from our sins. And we come into eternal relationship with you. That's the gospel. Lord, for someone here today that doesn't know it, Lord, may the day be the day that they put their faith in you. May they come talk to me or someone else here that can share that with them, Lord. May you draw that stranger from you to yourself, Lord, for your glory and your honor. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.